Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Coleraine, Massachusetts, as Pastor Jim Rennie continues to faithfully challenge and encourage us in the Word. And it is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome to the First Baptist Church here in Coleraine. We're so thankful for you listening and watching wherever you may be. Going to continue to study the first letter by the Apostle Peter. We're going to start into chapter 2 today and cover 12 verses. So let us read the Word of God. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, craves pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God, and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that they, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." May God add a blessing to his word this morning. Amen. Amen. Quick word of prayer. Father, again, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for this message that has been prepared for each one of us. And we pray that we'll be tuned in and not be distracted and learn something and apply it to our lives for our benefit and to your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Title of the message, The Stone That Makes Men Stumble. The stone that makes men stumble. Have you ever tripped up on a stone? Well, Jesus cannot be avoided. He is the living stone. Last week we finished chapter 1 in 1 Peter, his letter. Subject of holiness. Living our lives by not acting out evil desires of the old sinful nature, but instead being controlled by the Holy Spirit Why? In order to do his will. Again, in this second chapter, Peter says emphatically, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles," because this is not our home, "to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul." So Peter goes on to mention some examples of what the old sinful nature is like, being malicious, deceitful, hypocritical, envious, and slanderous. To be malicious means to have ill will against another, hoping that they will be harmed. You ever felt like getting revenge on someone that hurt you? That's a rhetorical question. Being deceitful, what does that mean? It means to be intentionally dishonest. Intentionally dishonest. Hypocritical. Basically not practicing what we preach. And I think all of us are guilty of that. Someone asked me the other day, I don't want to go to church, it's full of hypocrites. I said, yes, but there's always room for one more. Amen? There's plenty of room, actually. And being envious. That's when we look at others and what they have that we don't have, that we want. So then we are envious. It's that green-eyed monster. Okay? They've got something that we want that we don't have, so we are envious towards those individuals. And also being slanderous means to falsely accuse someone to harm their reputation. If the cap fits, people should wear it. But to falsely accuse them is to slander them. Amen? So these are all the evidences, amongst others, that we've already mentioned last week in Galatians chapter 5, of the fruits of the sinful nature. So how can we get the help that we need in order to not produce these ungodly sins like we've just mentioned? Peter tells us, he gives us the answer. Verse 2 and 3, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." Peter compares us Christians with newborn babies who have tasted that the Lord is good. One day we'll get the full meal. Now we've got a foretaste of what it's going to be like when we finally see the Lord in heaven. And whether we've been Christians for 50 years or for 5 weeks, we still need to crave the milk. Like newborn babies, they crave that milk, don't they? Not milk that comes from the cow or the goat, but the sincere milk of the Word, the Holy Scriptures. You know as well as I do, drinking milk helps babies to grow. Likewise, the milk of the Word, the Scriptures, will help us grow in our faith. And we become more mature. That's the point, to grow. And also to put on the whole armor of God. You need to read the Word of God every single day. Otherwise you make yourself vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. We need to crave that spiritual milk. Do you crave it? Do you crave it? How much milk did you drink last week? I'm not on about milk from the cow. How much of the Bible did you read last week? You know, many Christians, thousands, innumerable Christians have suffered and died in order for us to be free to be able to read the Word of God. Amen? I give one example, and there's numerous, like I said. One of them was William Tyndale. He was born in 1490, and he died in 1536. Tyndale was convinced that the Bible alone should determine the practices and doctrines of the church, and that all believers should be able to read the Bible in their own language. Because of the influence of printing and the demand for scriptures in the vernacular, William Tyndale began working on the New Testament translation directly from the Greek in 1523. After church authorities in England prevented him from translating the Bible there, because it was predominantly Roman Catholic, he went to Germany in 1524, receiving financial support from a wealthy London merchant. His New Testament translation was completed in July 1525 and printed at Cologne. Again, under pressure, this time from the city authorities, Tyndale fled to Worms, which is in Germany, where two more editions were published in 1525. The first copies were smuggled into England in 1526, where they were once prescribed. When the New Testament was finished, Tyndale began work on the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible, was issued in Marburg, 1530, each of the five books being separately published and circulated. Tyndale continued to work on the Old Testament translation, and he would have completed it eventually, but he was captured in Antwerp before it was completed, condemned for heresy, and was executed by strangulation and then burned at the stake in 1536. He was 46 years old. At the time of his death, 18,000 copies of his New Testament had been printed. Tyndale's greatest achievement was the ability to strike a felicitous balance between the needs of scholarship and to express the truth of the scripture. The effect was the creation of an English style of Bible translation that was to serve as a model for future English versions for nearly 400 years, beginning with the King James Version, 1666. So, you know, like I said, people have suffered and died and suffered tremendous pain and become martyrs in order to get that Bible in our hands. So the sincere milk of the word, we need to drink it, amen? We need to crave it, drink it, keep on drinking it every day so we can become spiritually mature. We grow in our faith and walk in the Spirit and not be controlled by the old sinful nature. In verse 4, Peter describes Christians as a holy priesthood and living stones. We're not dead stones, we're living stones. Before we received Jesus as our Savior, we were dead, spiritually dead, lifeless stones. But then the miraculous happened. We are walking miracles. Amen? God, in His infinite mercy, chose us before the foundation of the world to reveal His Son to us. It says, rejected by humans, but chosen by God, and are precious to Him. Like living stones being built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Having been born again, we became part of God's family. We are precious in His sight. We are living stones that are part of the building, not made by hands, but constructed by God Himself, called the church. We are part of God's family. Amen? Verse 6, for in Scripture it says, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious stone. Peter quotes from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah 26:16 that refers to Jesus. The chief cornerstone or the capstone. He is the rock, the sure foundation that the church is built upon. And it says, the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Right? Being part of God's building, the church, having trust in Jesus to save us from sin, death, and hell, we'll never be put to shame. We may be accused. It doesn't matter. When we stand, we won't have to stand before the great white throne judgment and give an account. We won't be condemned for the sins that we've committed in this life and the lives that we lived on earth. We will stand before the great white throne judgment and give an account of what we've done since we've been saved, but we won't have to give an account for the sins that we've committed, do commit, and will commit. Thank God. Amen. Deserves a big amen there. Thank you. Verse 7. 12 verses altogether. Now you who believe, Christians, this stone, what's he talking about? Who's the stone? Who's the chief cornerstone? Who's the rock that never rolls? Jesus. The stone is precious. To us, he's precious. Amen? Yeah. You hear somebody take the Lord's name in vain? Oh, come on. Well, they're ignorant. To them, Jesus is not precious. So that we need to tell them so they can receive Christ and be precious to them. And he to us. We were ignorant. We were dead, spiritually dead in trespasses and sins before Jesus revealed himself to us. But then our spiritual eyes were opened. The blinkers came off. That's what we call them, blinkers on horses. What do you call them, blinds? Yeah, where I'm from, they call them blinkers. So, but we're not there now, we're here. And I'll use the vernacular. Blinds. We were blinded by the God of this world to believe a lie. But when we received Christ, the blinkers came off. The blinds came off. Amen? I once was blind, but now I see. Amen. We came into the knowledge of the truth, knowing how much he loves us and what he did for us, because he believes that we are precious. He loved us. Even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world. He loves every single person who's ever been born in this world, so much that he was willing to die on the cross for them and for us. We believed it. God did it. That settles it. He paid that costly price to bring us into a right relationship with the Father, to take the punishment that we deserve. I know I do. Do I ever? You know? But he did it. He was willing to do it. The innocent one. The just time for the unjust to bring us to God. And now Peter goes on to mention about those who are not saved. The unbelievers in verse 7. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Peter here quotes from Psalm 118, verse 22. The prophet was looking ahead to when Jesus would come to Israel to proclaim his messiahship. We're going to remember that on Palm Sunday, amen? But unfortunately, we know that he was despised and rejected by the very people that he came to save. He came to his own, but his own received him not. Jesus was a Jew. Amen? Jesus himself quotes that very psalm that was written about him in Matthew. He said, this is Matthew 21. Some people take notes, 43, 45. I've cut the whole thing down because of time. 42, Matthew 21. Jesus said to them, to whom? The religious Pharisees. Have you never read in the scriptures? Of course, they must have done. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. He's referring to himself. This is the Lord's doing and is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. That's not just for the Jews, but also for us, the Gentiles. God will be taken away from you, religious Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, and be given to a people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone, Jesus, will be broken to pieces. Anyone on him whom it falls will be crushed. Now, when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parable, they knew he was talking about them. And he was. And he don't mince words, did he? Verse 8, Peter metaphorically describes Jesus as a stone. We know that there's a lot of metaphorical language in the Bible, as we've heard, to the light, the bread of life, etc., etc. Now, Peter's referring him to the stone. Chief cornerstone, the capstone, the solid rock, the firm foundation of the church, of the living God, is built upon him. Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail it. Jesus cannot be ignored. People cannot get around him, the almighty stone. Even though they killed him on the cross, he rose again from the dead. Even though for hundreds of years, the devil and his followers have tried to alter historical facts regarding who Jesus is, but people are still being saved. Amen. Thank God for that. Many have tried in vain to obliterate Christians from the face of the earth. But the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And it just keeps on growing and growing and growing. Many have tried to discredit the truth found only in the Holy Bible. But it hasn't worked, and it never will. Jesus himself said, heaven and earth will pass away, which it will. We don't know when, but it's going to happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Matthew 24. Precious milk of the word. We need to drink it. We need to crave it for our own benefit. Jesus is almighty. And to those who are saved, he is precious. But to those who are perishing, the unbelievers, he's a rock of offense. Now, people will either embrace him as their savior or trip up and stumble and fall. But he cannot be ignored. Why? Verse 8. They stumble because they disobey the message. Some of you are hearing this message for the first time. Some of you have heard this message many times about Jesus being the only way in order to get to heaven. But you've disobeyed the message. You haven't taken it to heart. You've resisted the Holy Spirit, and you remain spiritually dead. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. We were born in original sin. We were put on the highway to hell. And unless we receive Jesus as our Savior, we are destined for eternal separation from God from all eternity. But we don't have to go there. That's the good news. We don't have to go there. Those that have received Jesus are on the narrow road that leads to eternal life. Destined, for which they also were destined for. I mean, everyone is born physically. We're all born physically from our mother's womb. But we need to be born supernaturally. Those of us that are born naturally are spiritually dead to God. And that destination is everlasting separation from God in hell. Now, you won't hear messages like this, not very often. They don't want to mention that fact. They don't even believe in hell. But Jesus did. I'd sooner take his word for it. But God in his mercy sent his son who hates sin. He hates sin so much that he was willing to send his son, the most precious thing that he could send, because he knew the destination of sinners. And Jesus was willing to pay that penalty for our sins, and our sins were nailed on the cross. It's done. He accomplished it. Last thing he said when he was on the cross, it is finished. Done. It's done. So don't you start worrying about losing your salvation. Once saved, always saved. So, those that believe in him are not destined for destruction. We're on the narrow road that leads to heaven, where there is fullness of joy. You know, we've got a glimpse, we've got an inkling of joy, but we don't experience it 100% of the time every single day, do we? I don't. I wish I did. But when we shuttle off this mortal coil, the old mortal body, there'll be fullness of joy. We'll experience fullness of joy continuously, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. So Christians, we're a privileged people. We're in a minority compared to the majority of unbelievers that are on the broad road that leads to destruction. But they don't have to go there. Peter says, this is our description of what how God sees us now. He says in verse 9, we are a chosen people. So our privileged are we. We've been chosen by God. What else are we? We are a royal priesthood. How about that? We don't have to confess our sins to a man. We go directly into the throne room and confess our sins to the great high priest. Through the great high priest, we can enter into the Holy of Holies. We don't need a sinner to forgive us of our sins. We are a holy nation. We don't feel like it. We don't always act like it. But God sees us as holy, because he sees Christ in us. God's special possession. That's what we are. He owns us. We're his special possession. And when I came to Christ, it was like him holding out his arms and said, come, come. And I went and I was saved. And that's what he's going to be like. When we die, when we stop breathing, he's going to be there waiting for us. That's what he did with the first martyr, Stephen, the first deacon, first Christian that died for his faith. He said, I see the Son of Man standing, not sitting, at the right hand of God. So Jesus stood up and he was waiting for Stephen to come into his presence. Boom, absent from the body, present with the Lord. What a day. Give Jesus a hug. Jesus is going to give us a hug. Oh boy. God's chosen people. Not because there was any good in us. Because of his goodness in us that he put there. Once we received him. Been adopted by the King. We are now royalty. We're royalty. We've been adopted by the King. We're sons and daughters of the King. You're princesses and princes of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, a kingdom of priests. Now we can come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. We need to keep going to the throne of grace so we can obtain mercy and forgiveness and fullness of joy. Why? He says that you may declare the praises of him, having been saved by faith, by God's grace. We can declare our faith in Jesus and worship him and praise him for all that he has done. We can declare our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. We need to share our faith and be bold. Ask God to give us the courage. And if they're not rejecting you, if they choose to reject the message or whatever, but you don't need to cast your pearl before swine either. But try to sow the good seed and see if it lands in good ground. You'll never know the good it will do. God has called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Yeah, we were in darkness, but we were also darkness before we came into his wonderful light. It's like that song, I saw the light, I saw the light. I don't know all the words, but before we were saved, we were blinded by the devil to believe lies. We lived in spiritual darkness. But having heard the message and believed it, do you? Do you believe this message that's being preached today? Do you believe it by faith? But if, when you do and you receive it, you receive the light in the face of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. There's no darkness in heaven. None. Don't need the sun. He is the sun. That's enough. No shadows in heaven. In hell, complete darkness. What a contrast. And you don't want to go there. And you don't have to. I'm almost finished. He says, once you were a people, this is verse 10, once you were a people, before being saved, we were children of the devil. Well, that's strong. That's kind of, no, were we? We were, really? Children of the devil? Yes, we were. Because we were controlled by him. We were his slaves. And we didn't even know it. He's the deceiver. We were totally deceived. We were slaves of unrighteousness to do ungodly things. But then we received mercy. But now, thank heavens for that word. But now, see, that was before. We were darkness before, and now we're children of the light. Now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So we've got a lot to praise God for, don't we? Praise Him every day for His goodness and His mercy that we don't deserve. So let me conclude. Because we've received God's mercy and have become children of God, children of the light, how are we to live in this world? The devil is the god of this world. Okay? The devil is the god of this world. This is his territory. This is his terrain. How are we to live? Tells us, does Peter, abstain from sinful desires, which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans, they're the unbelievers, people that are not saved. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, we talk about false accusations, that's what slander means, doesn't it? Even though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So there's some very practical advice, and Lord willing, we'll continue next week. Amen? Well, let's close in a word of prayer then. So, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be here again. We thank you for your word, and all so practical. And it's meant to be. It's not meant to be confusing. And now we've gain more insight of what to do in order to rise above this world by craving the sincere milk of the Word of God. Help us to read it and to crave it so we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, to mature us, to grow more like Christ, and rise above those sinful desires that the devil wants us to pursue and to damage our souls. And we know that you don't want us to do that. So we help us to make moral choices every day to be holy. Remember that we are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, and precious in your sight. And remember that for what you did for us on that cross to keep us walking in the Spirit, and the price that you paid and what it cost you to bring us to God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you watch this on Facebook or what's the other one? YouTube. That's right. Then give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel, First Baptist Church, Coleraine. Goodbye, and God bless you till we meet again.
Thank you again for tuning in. You can find our podcasts on Apple Podcasts and anywhere else you find podcasts. We'd love for you to join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 81 Foundry Village Road, Coleraine, Massachusetts. If you have any questions or inquiries, please feel free to call the church at 413-624-8886. Hope to see you soon. God bless.